Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
You waiting for that day, amen. What a day that's going to be, amen, amen.
Glad today that I know who the Lord is. I trust that you do. A lot of folks in the service today, a lot of visitors and new faces, and we just trust that today, if you don't know the Lord before you leave here today, we pray that His conviction will fall on you so hard you won't be able to walk out of this building without coming to an altar and asking Him to save you. We got a lot of folks around here would love to lead you to the Lord, introduce you to Him today. Pray for the choir.
Living my life
I'm saved, saved, saved by his marvelous grace. If it wasn't for that grace, we wouldn't have a hope. And if it wasn't for that blood, we wouldn't have our salvation. We're going to change up. I'm going to let you off the hook today, Phil. And I'm going to change up and do there's a fountain. There's a fountain. We missed being here last week and don't like to miss. Wasn't able to be here. Mike Atkins did such a good job that William and I are going to take every fifth Sunday off going forward and turn it over to him. Just let him have it. Just want to let y'all know this morning. Don't need to vote on that or anything. We're just going to do it. Sing this song. There's a fountain.
Drawn from Him.
Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why did he suffer like no man has ever done? There is just one reason. I am that one. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. And when it seems no one else can care for me, then I can take all my problems, I can take it to my Jesus, everything, because he loves me. He loves me. Jesus, he loves me. Yes, he loves me. He loves me. Jesus, he loves, me. I'm so glad you love me.
Hey. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, the choir let her go today. And I thank God that the Lord's given us what he has given us here at Westside Baptist Church. I couldn't help but kind of get tickled talking about how people are different. I mean, so different. I was watching Miss Peen over here shivering and freezing to death. And at the same time, Miss Peen is over here shivering to death. I'm getting texts. It sure is hot in here. Amen. I tell you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Last week we read from these verses, Ephesians chapter 2. We will read the text again. I want to share with you why I think it's so great. It used to be good, but I tell you, it's great to be a part of the family of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1, and you hath he, listen, he's talking to you, saints, if you know the Lord this morning, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4 it says, but God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. I want to talk to you just for a few moments on why it is so good to be in the family of God. Last week we touched for just a moment on the fact that before we were saved, we were part of Adam's family. Remember that? But this week I want to tell you, it's just good to be a part of the Lord's family. You know, there are some things that are comparable from the natural birth into our new birth. You know, it takes two parents, a man and a woman, for you and I to have been birthed into this world. Y'all figure that out yet? Or do we need to go back to school? Amen. But nevertheless, likewise, we're birthed by two spiritual parents into the family of God. This miracle of the new birth takes place when the Spirit of God, found in John chapter 3, verse 5, applies the Word of God, found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. When God, the Spirit, applies the Word of God to the mind and the heart of the sinner, this generates this thing called faith, found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Then the sinner believes on Jesus Christ and receives new life and is born again into the family of God, found in John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. So we have mom and dad in our physical life, but we have the Spirit of God and the Word of God as our parents into our new life, the life that we have into this family of God. Then also, as our physical life, thank God for those little babies. Isn't that wonderful? I'm so glad. I don't mind hearing them cry here and there. Amen. I just thank God they're here. Amen. Glad their mom and daddies are here. Amen. But I tell you, there's another aspect of being in the family of God, and that's travail. You remember, no, you don't remember, but you know that when you were brought into this world, it was not an easy task. It was a tough situation. Your mama had to do a little fighting with the matter. Matter of fact, nowadays, thank the Lord to technology and so forth, they make it a little easier on you. You get there early enough, they can give you a local and do some things to make it not so painful. But sometimes, as it was with Lisa when Rebecca was born, we got there at around a quarter till 12, and they went in to do what they were going to do to give her some pain relief, and they said, oop, it's too late. You're having this one all natural. So, bless her heart, she did. And she about broke, I'm not kidding, she about broke my hand as she hung on for dear life. But I tell you, there was some travailing going on there. Matter of fact, one preacher mentions this travailing. He says, never forget that the mothers go down into the valley so that their children can come into the world. Well, praise be to God for good moms that were willing to do that kind of thing to bring us into the world. But let me say this. Our Lord Jesus Christ also had travail in death. He travailed in death on the cross. This was prophesied, by the way, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11. It says this. he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By this knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a part of the child of God. If you're saved this morning, we are a part of the child of God because our Lord Jesus travailed on the cross. He travailed as they beat him. He travailed as they nailed him. He travailed as they pierced his side. He travailed as they placed a crown of thorns on his head and whipped him beyond recognition. He travailed, ladies and gentlemen, when he said, John, behold your mother. He travailed when he said, it is finished. He travailed, ladies and gentlemen, when he asked God to forgive those who had crucified him. Ladies and gentlemen, he travailed. And in doing so, he opened up the birth canal for you and for me to have eternal life and to be a part of this wonderful family. Something else about birth, being birthed into the children. You know, Brother Dave, last week, Brother Mike didn't fill me up either. So, so hang on just a minute. Shame on Brother Dave and Brother Mike. Thank you, Lord, for the water. Amen. But you know, there's some birthmarks that come with being a child of God. There's some kind of birthmark somewhere on you that's probably similar to your parents, your natural born parents. But nevertheless, those birthmarks are indicators of who we are. I believe one birthmark is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. I believe that's the birthmark of practicing righteousness, not to sin. Matter of fact, in verse 29, it says, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him, meaning Jesus Christ. Well, the fact of the matter is, I was doing a little reading, and one of the scholars that are much smarter than I am says that the tense of the verbs in verse 29 of 1 John chapter 2 literally means everyone that practices righteousness is born of him, or does not practice sin is born of him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you that if God's word says it, I just believe it. And so a birthmark is one that practices righteousness and not sin. Now, before I move on to the next, I want to say this to you. There are some physicians, and ladies and gentlemen, they are practicing physicians. Sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. And I want to say to you, and I don't mean to stretch this word practice into a twisted context, but I believe that we're practicing Christians in that we're to practice righteousness. We're of this flesh, and we are going to miss it now and then, aren't we? But we're not to lay down and wallow in our sin. The Bible says that the righteous man gets up seven times, ladies and gentlemen. Righteous man may fall. A righteous woman may fall. But they will get up and dust themselves off, make a plea for 1 John 1:9, and go on with their Christian walk. That's why it's so great to be a part of the family of God. A birthmark of practicing. You heard the old saying, practice makes perfect. Amen. Another birthmark is loving God and other believers. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Ladies and gentlemen, is that not quite emphatic? That if we have hatred toward our brothers and sisters, that we need to check up on ourselves. I'm not suggesting that you'll never be hurt and has some things to get over. I'm not suggesting that at all, but I am suggesting that when we find complete and blanketed bitterness toward the brethren and the sister, we need to check up on our salvation. Years ago, Pastor, you know my take. You don't want to ever see anybody leave the church, do we? But I had an old gal in the church where I used to pastor, and I had that feeling, you know, I don't want anybody to ever leave the church. We love everybody. But Pastor, that old gal, she was a gossip. Little black curly hair and had the tongue of Satan. She'd go get mad, get her nose bent out of joint, and I'd go chase her and try to bring her back, trying to be the right kind of under-shepherd that I should be. Pastor, that woman was a gossip. She talked about this one coming and going, and I believe with all my heart, Pastor, I made a mistake by chasing that woman down and bringing her back over and over and over again. I think I was chasing a lost woman. Instead of talking her back into the church, I should have been saying, are you even born again? Because she did not have the love of God in her toward her brother and her sister. I got to tell you something. I walked into a room the other day. I'm not going to tell you where it was. And there were a bunch of Christians in there. And I cannot tell you what a wonderful atmosphere it was. They were laughing and talking across the room and cutting up. And, man, they were having a blast. And I sat down and just sat there and listened to it. It was music to my ears. And you know what the Lord said to me? That's what my love sounds like between your saints. You know why sometimes God doesn't bless us? Because we have a critical spirit or a critical mouth. Then we can't figure out where God is. Then we can't figure out why nobody wants anything to do with us. Well, feel free to come to my office. I'll be glad to tell you. I ain't scared. I'm telling you, a birthmark is practicing righteousness. A birthmark of a Christian, ladies and gentlemen, is this thing of loving God and loving other believers. And I want to tell you this thing, another birthmark is overcoming the world. The Bible says, now listen to me, this is going to help you this morning. This is practical. The Bible says in 1 John 4, 2 through 6, I won't read all of it, but in verse 3 it says this, every spirit that confesseth not the Jesus, that Jesus Christ is come into in the flesh, let me back up and start that over again. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, kids, you listen to me. You go to the public school system. My daughter goes to the public school system. Most of you probably do. And whenever they deny Christ as God in the flesh, they are acting out in the spirit of Antichrist. The Muslims, the people that support and worship the Islamic religion, they are operating within and in the spirit of Antichrist. When you have the little couples come to your door on Saturday morning handing out their watchtowers, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, they deny Christ. They deny Jesus as God in the flesh. They are operating in the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. Hey, by the way, the Bible says stay away from them. Stay away from them. You say, well, aren't we supposed to love them? Yes, absolutely. Love them. Pray for them. Tell them the truth, but don't hang out with them. The Bible tells us what fellowship have darkness with light. Amen, little one. You go ahead. So we see here that overcoming the world. The reason I mention that is because we don't understand the spirit of Antichrist. Anything that speaks heresy concerning Jesus Christ and his word is working within the spirit of Antichrist. Now let me say this. Then the Bible goes on to say, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When the Mormons and the, bless their hearts, the lost, on the way to hell, it's a horrible thing. Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your door. You don't have to be scared of them. You can open the door and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Don't give them a chance to say anything. Just start telling about Jesus. Quote John 3:16 and anything else you can remember to quote. Amen. Just tell them about Jesus. And then when they try to start their heresy, just say, stop. I'm not ordered through by the Scriptures to listen to your heresy, but I am ordered through the Scriptures to preach the truth to you. Now, you've heard the truth, and slam the door, amen. Can I tell you why I learned that? From an 88-year-old independent fundamental Southern Baptist preacher. That's right. What I'm saying is he was Southern Baptist, but he preached it straight. And I remember we were sitting on the porch one day, and a couple of those clowns came walking up. And he said, lady, I'm commanded of God to tell you. And he laid out the plan of salvation. He said, I'm done. He turned around, walked in the house, left me out there by myself with that chick. I'm talking about the birthmarks of the Christian. Then I tell you something else. In 1 John chapter 2, we find this, another birthmark, is those that overcome the devil. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. Now, I tell you, if you read the beginning of that chapter, it will more in a defined manner tell you how they overcame the wicked one, or their attributes as one that has overcome the wicked one. Now, I already said this once, but some things are just worth saying twice. In the earlier part of this chapter, we're being warned to love each other. It's just that simple. It says, you've overcome the evil one. Well, great, we have, praise the Lord. But back earlier in the chapter, he's saying, now, since you've overcome the evil one, here's what I want you to do. And John just pounds the blessings right out of the topic of love. Love for each other and love of God. Say, preacher, you going to say it again? Yes, let me say it again. Because I'll be honest with you, some Christians aren't getting it. Now, I hope that doesn't apply to anybody in this room. But I do know that nationally, there's one or two that just aren't getting this thing of the love of Christ and dwelling in them. So that is another, if I may say, a birthmark. How are we doing on time? We're doing great. Then I want to say this. I like being part of the family of God because there's so much to enjoy. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 6 that he gives us richly all things to enjoy. I thank God for our family freedom. Romans chapter 8 says this, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of the bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Can I just tell you what I think that means? Whereby we cry, thee, Father, my Father. Amen. Amen. I'm saying we can lay claim. We can drive our stake in the fact that we are God's. He is not just the Father. But if you're a child of God, you can say, the Father, my Father. Well, I tell you, you know, we talk about the adoption that Christians have, and that's wonderful. And we talk about the legal blessings that adopted children have here on this earth, even more so, excuse me, than some of the biological children. Nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, there is something about the adopted Christian children being adopted, or children being adopted into the family of God, versus children being adopted into the physical family or human family. Do you realize that just because you might have blonde hair and blue eyes, and you run out and adopt a child, and they have brown hair and brown eyes, do you know that when you adopt them, that they do not take on your attributes? They don't become blonde hair and blue eyes because the adoptive parents have blonde hair and blue eyes? If the adoptive parents have a dimple in their chin, and the adopted child does not have a dimple in their chin, do we realize that just because we adopt them, that the dimple does not miraculously show up? But let me tell you something. What happens when we are adopted into the family of God, when we're born again, I want to say this, that we take on God's attributes. That's right. Amen. I like that. I got to hurry up, man, or I'm not going to finish today again. I know you guys are getting sick and tired of hearing half sermons. But all I know to do, Pastor, is follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I think I will. So I'm enjoying being a part of the family of God, the family freedom that we have, the attributes that we take on as God's child. I thank God for the food. Amen? I know everybody in here thinks Mama can make the best dressing for Thanksgiving, or the best gravy, or the best this, or the best that. Hey, and that's the way it should be. We should feel that way about our moms, that they can do this better than any. That's wonderful. I enjoy the food when I go to Mom's house. I think she makes the best spaghetti in the world and the best dressing in the world, so forth and so on. But I want to say to you that I enjoy the food. Matter of fact, Job chapter 23:12 says this, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. He's saying this, that the word of God is so important to me that it is more important, it is more valuable than Mama's cooking. Amen. The word of God is called, in Matthew 4:4, it's called the bread of life. Amen. And guess what? The Bible says it proceeds from the very mouth of God. And then we find God's word is also called in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. I want to tell you, I'm not sleeping very well for some reason. And I've been fighting whatever it's called when you can't sleep, and been fighting that thing. And so the old wine said, I tell you what, Brother Midget, if you'll take a glass of milk and warm it up and drink it before you go to bed, you'll sleep like a baby. And I want to tell you, the thought of warm milk grossed me out. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I did it. And I didn't sleep, and I'm angry with them because they made me drink that junk, and it didn't work. I love the older wines. They and Brother Johnson grouped up with us last Sunday morning. I'm so glad. But I tell you, then we found later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that the word of God is even called the meat. The meat. Matter of fact, Paul says, I fed you milk for a while. Then I tried to feed you some meat, and you started spitting it up. You couldn't handle it. So I had to go back to milking you. Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that just true of our churches today? Isn't it true that if Pastor, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but if we jumped up here and started spewing the meat, sometimes like we want to, we'd have people gagging all over the auditorium. I'm talking about spiritually now. I tell you, we need to get used to eating some meat. And can I tell you real quickly how you can do that? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Hey, guess what? God's word is also in Psalm 119 referred to as honey. Oh, how sweet thy words are unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Amen. I tell you, when you get into God's word, when you'll cut the TV off, when you'll cut the radio off, when you'll put the secular books down and start reading God's word, I want to tell you, you will fall in love with it if you're a child of God. You'll say, man, that's a good meal. Hey, I think I got some meat between my teeth from that one. Amen. Oh, and everybody likes dessert. Heaven to Betsy, man. Everybody likes dessert after. And so what do you have? You got the honey. Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, let's go on. I tell you something else. I like being about being a child of God and in his family is the family fortune. Amen. Everybody's hoping one day their ship will come in. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I may not look like it. If you go out and look at my car, you might think I'm a liar this morning. I drive a little Hyundai Elantra. Amen. It's not a rich man's car. But I want to tell you, when I was 6 years old and I bowed my knee and my head and asked him to come into my heart, my ship came in and I found my fortune. Bible says this. I'm going to hurt you here. You ready? I'm about to hurt you. You ready? Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, listen to this, and joint heirs with Christ, we shout, we praise God, and we should, that through Christ we're joint heirs with God, meaning Abba Father, the Father, my Father. And that's something to get excited about, ladies and gentlemen. That's wonderful, and we should be happy about those things. But I want to say this. So many times I've heard preachers read this, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Let me say this. The next set of this sentence, words in this sentence, puts it in perspective, ladies and gentlemen. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We always think of the blessings, and we should, by the way, think of the blessings that come with being in joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Yes, the streets of gold. Yes, the heavenly mansion. Yes, eternal life. Yes, the pearly gates. Yes, 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 the heir to all that, and we have part in that. And praise God, but the next part of this verse says, if so be that we suffer with him. That sure takes the fun out of that verse. I was doing some reading, and out west, I want to say Idaho, but don't quote me on that, has made a law. And that law is that churches have to put a bathroom into their facilities for transgender individuals. And if they don't follow suit, the pastors can go to jail. Connecticut just passed the same legislation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just the beginning. I promise you, no matter who is elected, and I believe because of the direction of the scripture, I'm not going to vote for, but I do believe that Hillary Clinton will be the next president because of what we see that has to happen in the Bible. But I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. Westside Baptist Church, we better start treating each other like family instead of outcasts. I'm not saying that we are, but I'm saying we need to love each other even the more. Hear me out. Because it probably will come here one day before the Lord comes. We're not going to go through the tribulation, but we may experience some tribulation. And I may be calling Brother Todd, the chairman of the Board of Deacons, and saying, hey, can you come bail me out? I'm telling you, it's going to get sticky, even right here. I say this. Can I go over a few minutes? I remember back when Desert Storm, y'all remember the first time we went over and invaded Kuwait and ran the Iraqis out? I remember Desert Storm. And when we were building up forces over there, churches were opening their doors. And people from all over the cities were going into the church and praying and trusting and begging God for safety for our young men and women and so forth and so on. And man, I'm here to tell you, I thought, praise God, God is using this to cause America to fall to their knees. It wasn't as bloody as everybody thought it was going to be. It wasn't as drawn out as everybody thought it would be. It was over with. Within a few days, they were bringing our boys back home. I didn't see the church doors open and people flooding into the church to thank God for keeping our boys safe and defeating a wicked enemy. No, the bars were open and the booze was flowing and people were drunk after what God had done for our nation. I think so, but I'm going to tell you something, my brother. We're doing the same thing, Christians. I guarantee you, if they busted through the door, put me in handcuffs, and drug me off to the jail down here, you'd be hitting the altar, weeping and crying and begging God to help me and help this church, and help all of us in our persecution and help, oh God, and oh my goodness, it'd be a mess. Tears and slobber be flying all over the place. Westside Baptist Church, we better not wait. The tears and the slobber better start now. Where do you go from there? I'm going to tell you. I want to tell you this. That we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to think about this. Before we were joint heirs with Jesus Christ, God's throne was going to be a throne of judgment to us. But now, because of our joint heir relationship with Jesus, God's throne is a throne of grace. I tell you, I'm going to close. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. The Bible tells us two are better than one. Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. Ladies and gentlemen, two are better than one. Three are better than two, and so forth and so on. Can I do something this morning? Can I ask, if you're 12 years old, and I know we have some back running the puppets and the junior church, but if you're 12 years old to 19, would you stand up? Don't be shy. We know you're a bunch of hams. Come on. 12 to 19, stand up. I see 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and that's not including. Can I ask you, teenagers, Can y'all just be faithful to Westside Baptist Church? Listen to me. Over the last 2 weeks, don't sit down yet. I'm going to talk to the teenagers. The last 2 weeks, I've spoken to a couple men that love teenagers, and they want to come and be a part of Westside Baptist Church to help you guys. But can I say this to you in love? Who are they going to come help if you guys aren't here? Mom and dads, can you hear this preacher this morning? Who are they going to come help? Who are they going to be a blessing to if you're not here? Would you sit down for me? Thank you for being honest stuff. And we have some teenagers back there. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. I'm glad to be a part of Westside Baptist Church. I want to see us become two, then three, then four, because each time we move up in numbers together, striving for the same goal, the same cause, we become stronger and stronger. I want to say this, I'm done. Yesterday, I did something that I don't like to do. It was the best thing. We should have done it. But my dad had a beautiful like bird dog, you know, with a speckled chest. And she got old and arthritic. And we had to put her down. I've stood by hundreds of deathbeds. But I got to tell you, that was tough, too. You say, well, man, preacher, how can you say that? It's just tough. Dad was there, and Rebecca was there. It was very emotional. Let me tell you about being a part of the family of God. Why I'm sharing this. We took Dad home, and Rebecca and I had to come over to the church and take care of some stuff. So we walked into the fellowship hall, and there was about 20, 25 women back there, ladies doing some things. And Rebecca was crying, and she went, she grabbed her mom and began to weep. And the ladies that were in that room, rushed and started hugging and consoling. And you know what I saw? Not a bunch of hard hearts. Say, get over it, it's just a dog. You know, no. But I saw grown women crying, tears running down their face, because one of theirs was crying, tears running down her face. Westside Baptist Church, that is what being a part of God's family is all about. That when I cry, you cry. And when you cry, I cry. What a blessing. Over the even months, I've had some of you call me broken and beaten and battered. Literally at the end of your rope. And then let 5 weeks, 6 weeks, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks go by. And see somebody coming out of the other side of that dark cloud in their life. Victorious. No longer beaten down. How did they get through that black cloud? Number one, by the grace of God. But I believe, secondly, and very importantly, because of you. Because they knew. They knew my pastors were praying. They knew my church is praying. And I don't see God anywhere near this. But I believe He's going to bring me through. And I've watched it one by one. I've watched them bring you through it. And I want to tell you, that makes me want to shout. I want to tell you this, that God is for enlarging His family. Westside Baptist Church, we're not going to compromise on God's word. We're not going to compromise around here, but there's nothing wrong with growing. Years ago, a friend of ours joined a church we were part of, and he started a Each One Get One program. And brother, they went out and each one started getting one. And next thing I know, we were having to build a 30,000 square foot addition to the church. That's all it takes, by the way. Just go get one. You realize that every one of us go get one? We have to put chairs out next Sunday. Just one. Amen. I'm just saying, I love being a part of the family of God. Three questions and I'm done. Have you entered the family of God? Have you the assurance that you are a child of God? That's number one. And I believe more importantly than anything this morning. Secondly, are you enjoying being in His family? Are you drawing upon the privileges that are yours in Christ? And then thirdly, are you helping to enlarge the family by witnessing for Christ as the Lord gives you opportunity? That's the invitation. Are you saved this morning? Are you enjoying the benefits, secondly, as Christians? And are we working to enlarge the body of Christ? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just stand, please. Three questions I've asked, I believe, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Maybe Christians, if you're here, would you search your heart? Would you see if any of these questions apply? Lost person, can I tell you, God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And if you'll let Him today, He'll save your soul. Sister, you play, please. The altar's open as we sing.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right?
Is there anything we can tune up this morning?
Countest thou all things for Jesus but lost? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy with God, washed in the